to be here this evening. It's really very special because, number one, we're in the middle of Sfirat HaOmer, and number two, we're really on our way to Kabbalat HaTorah, and really, Sfirat HaOmer is a preparation for Kabbalat HaTorah. This is really a great time to really study about Sfirat HaOmer, Kabbalat HaTorah, and how they're really all intertwined. Now, really, we just read in this Parashat B'chukotai, and we really started with the idea that im b'chukotai telechu bet mitzvotai tishmoru. So what's the point? Im b'chukotai telechu bet mitzvotai tishmoru. Either you do the chukim and you do the mitzvot. So many times we have studied this, that chukim are things that we don't understand, and mitzvot might be, you know, that we understand them. Mitzvot shiniyot. So we could expect all of Chazal to say, im b'chukotai telechu, you have to do the chukim. That mitzvot tishmor, you also have to do the mitzvot that makes sense to you. That's what a good Jew is about. You do the chukim, you don't understand it, you do the mishpatim, what you do understand. What a great synthesis between the two things. But Chazal don't explain it that way. As opposed to many other places in the Chumash, Chazal don't explain it that way. What do they say? What's in the chukotai telechu? Shetiyu amelim batorah. That you have to be toiling and involved in the Torah in every single aspect of your life. What does that mean? That means that Torah has to be the focal point and the centerpiece of our life. We have to be immersed in Torah. We have to live in Torah. We have to swim in the yam of Torah. That's what in the chukotai telechu. And if we do those chukim that way, immerse yourself in Torah, then you'll have all the brachot. That's what this past week's parsha was about. And it's so significant that that parsha comes during Sfirat HaOmer. Because what is Sfirat HaOmer all about? And Sfirat HaOmer is really all about counting down the Shavuot. I didn't give out this sheet on the internet because I was going to bring it, but it'll take too long to give out. So you know many of these psukim that we're going to discuss. We know in Vayikra, Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Tet Vav, it says, Uspartem Lachemi Mechorat HaShabbat. Right? The day after Pesach, meaning Tet Vav, Tet Zayin, what do? We start counting Sfirat HaOmer. What does that mean? It says, "Miyom haviyachem et omer hatnufa, sheva shabbatot tmimot yena." From the second day of Pesach, we count sheva shabbatot in order to get to Shavuot, in order to get to Kabbalat HaTorah. And what happens after 49 days, really day 50, then we bring shtei alechem. We bring mincha chadasha laHashem. So we start the sfira with Korban HaOmer, and we end the sfira with shtei alechem. We go from flat matzah, Korban HaOmer is matzah because we give it during Pesach, and also you should know almost all the korbanot are matzah. We almost have no korbanot that are chametz. Some things that we add on to the korban todah is chametz, but the only real korban of chametz that we have is shtei alechem. Kabbalat HaTorah, Shavuot, then you can be puffed up, then you can be smechim b'Torah, but all the rest of the year you really can't have ego. You can't bring ego to the korban on the mizbeach. So what is Sfirat HaOmer all about? Sfirat HaOmer, when we start with Korban HaOmer, the second day of Pesach, is about preparing for Kabbalat HaTorah. We spend 49 days each day rising another rung in order to accept and get ready for Kabbalat HaTorah. So we're counting towards that goal. And what's fascinating is we never have a date for Mitinat HaTorah. It never says in the Torah somewhere, Vav Sivan was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah. It's always connected with Pesach. We're counting the 50 days. So how come we don't have a separate date? What do we know about Yetziat Mitzrayim? What do we know about Pesach? When did that happen? It's not a trick question. When did that happen? Tet Vav. Okay, it happened on Tet Vav Sivan, Nisan, and we are very clear about that. And what day do we bring the Korban Pesach? Yud Dalet, Bein Harbayim. And we know that in Chatzot was the Makav, Makat Bechorot, and what happened afterwards, Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh, right in the middle of the day, Tet Vav, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So how come we have an exact date for Yetziat Mitzrayim? And how come Kabbalat HaTorah we don't have an exact date? We're going to see in the Makorot that I brought that Rabbi Yossi even says it happened on Zion Sivan. We follow the accepted usual view of Vav Sivan, but Rabbi Yossi is a big Tana, and that was his view. So the question is, right, why don't we have a date for Mitinat HaTorah, which is such a seminal date in Jewish life? So number one, because Yetziat Mitzrayim is a historical date. And we predicate our emunah on the fact and our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that he took us out of Mitzrayim. And that's why, what's the first of Aseret HaDibrot? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hositicha Meretz Mitzrayim Mibeit Avadim. Not even Borei Olam, and not that I'm now giving you the Torah. Even though, what's the reason Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim? In order to give the Torah, right? Tavdun Etai Elokim Ala Har Hazeh. And yes, we don't have a date. Because really, belief in Torah is about emunah. We don't really have a historical fact. We were all there. We know it. Hashem came down, right? All the Bnei Israel really experienced this, but it's really still predicated on emunah. The Chazon Ish has a beautiful piece where he writes, if you really look at it, no matter how many proofs you can give for emunah, it's always a leap of faith. But Yitziat Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and all of our thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that we have to worship him, the view of the Ibn Ezra, is all predicated, and the Ramban is all predicated on that he took us out of Mitzrayim. We owe it to him. He took us out, and we owe it to him. But accepting the Torah on one level has to be Belev Shalem. It has to be on one level something that is not because there's a proof. You are willing to jump in. You are willing to, as we'll see later, for Bnei Yisrael to say Na'aseh and Na'aseh V'nishma. It has to be something that you are willing to just jump in. It doesn't have to be something, oh, I have proof, so I'm going to accept it. It's something that has to be Belev Shalem. And how do we get ready for this during Sfira? Because Sfira is Yomi and Shavui. We count Sfira by days and by weeks. The Rav says a beautiful thing. What's all I give Sfira or Kedushat Hazman? That you have control over time. The Rav Zakal always spoke about Kedushat Hazman, sanctification of time. What is Sfira all about? Every day you are sanctifying time. Every day you are counting. And the Ramban has a beautiful piece where he discusses, as this Vayikra Kaf Gimel Lamed Vav, that why is Shavuot in the Torah called Aseret? It's not called Zman Matan Torah Teinu, it's never mentioned there. What is Aseret? We have Shmini Aseret. What does that mean? It's the last day that we add after Sukkot. The Ramban has a beautiful idea. What is Sfirat HaOmer? It's the bridge. It's the Chol HaMoed from Pesach, where you became free and came out of Mitzrayim, and you take all the 49 days, and through them you prepare for Kabbalat HaTorah. And how do you prepare for Kabbalat HaTorah? You need Yomi and you need Shavui. You need to know the details. You have to be immersed in the details. Be a good Jew, you have to have the details. But you also have to have the bigger picture. You have to have weeks. You have to see things in a progression. You have to be able to look forward to things. And also you have to see the final count to go all the way to 50. You have to be able to see the different details, but also the bigger picture, the forest and the trees. And that's what we should spend our time doing now during Sfirat HaOmer. We have to spend that time really reevaluating and thinking, because truly, Chodesh Elul is to Yamim Tovim, Yamim Noraim, and Sukkot, what Sfirat HaOmer, Pesach, and Sfirat HaOmer is really to Shavuot, to Kabbalat HaTorah. We have this entire time period to really prepare for Matan Torah, not just counting. It is the time we go from Korban HaOmer until we go to Shtei Alechem. And we have to develop ourselves, as we said, from Matzah, right, to the possibility of Shtei Alechem. Real, full chametz, chalot, that are really brought as a Korban. But in the other times, we don't allow chametz. Why not? Because still a lot of hot air. But on Shavuot, we expect it to be content. It's raw, it's risen, it's high, but you are already full of content. You spend 49 days, you spend 7 weeks, you spend this whole unit developing yourself. And 49 is not really a happenstance number, right? The whole idea of 49 Sharei Tumah, 49 is a very important number, right? The idea of 7 times 7, also Shemitah, Yovel, similar parshas that we just did, right? All have these kind of numbers, this kind of personal development. Torah is all about development. It's not about, okay, we expect everything immediately. There's no immediate gratification. It's all about long-term, looking ahead. And who are the individuals who are the best at looking long-term, ahead, willing to put off gratification long-term? That's the nashim. The women have this extra special ability to put off instant gratification and to put off personal needs for long-term goals, for family, for community, to see to the future. We saw Pesach start with Bishchut Nashim Tzidkaniyot, Shayu Bo Toador Nigalu Yisrael Mimitzrayim. It's the righteous women. And what's the story it tells? They would give water, they would give fish, and they would want to have children. What did the men say, Amram? Let's divorce. We don't, can't have children at this point. What did Miriam and the Nashim say? We still want to have continuity. We're looking long term. Miriam stood from afar to see what would happen with Moshe. What's going to be long term? What's going to be in the future? We have that uncanny ability. And as a result, when it comes to Matan Torah, finally, you can get your sheets. When we come to Matan Torah, we see something very interesting. And let me see what number I put for you. When we come to Matan Torah, look at number 3. Shmot Perek Yetet. When we come to Matan Torah, and this is the famous midrash we all know, Vayisum Mirfidim Vayavol Midbar Sinai, number 3, Shmot Perek Yetet, Pasuk Bet, Vayachanu Bamidbar, Vayichan Shan Yisrael Neged Ahar. Vayichan Shan Yisrael Neged Ahar, had it Bnei Israel come to Har Sinai, Ki Ish Echad, Belev Echad. Aval Shar Kol HaChanayot B'Tarometh U'Bamachloket. I just read the Rashi, which is number 4 on the sheet. What does that mean? Bnei Israel came to Har Sinai, and they came with one heart, right? And they came as one unit. Every other time Bnei Israel camps in the desert, they're not unified. They're not organized. They're not together. They're always arguing. But when they came to Har Sinai, they came as one unit. And we know something very interesting. It says about Devorah HaNeviah that she sat under a palm tree. And why did she sit under a palm tree? Because as opposed to all the other trees that have a lot of branches that branch out, a palm tree has one trunk, and then on top it branches out. Almost like always looking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Always looking up to God. What's interesting? Ki ish echad b'lev echad, when Bnei Israel came to Har Sinai and were as one unit, who were a big influence in that? The women were a very big influence in that. Just like they were the ones who influenced to have Emunah to go out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, just like they were the ones who saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu first at Yam Suf, the women have this uncanny sense of feeling spirituality, feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayichan Shan Yisrael Keneged Ahar, Pasuk Gimel, we're back in 3. Umoshe Allah Ela Elokim, Vayikra Allah Hashem Min Ahar Lemor, Kotomar Lebet Yaakov, V'taged Li Bnei Israel. You have to speak in this manner to Bet Yaakov, V'taged Li Bnei Israel. Famous Midrashim that we all know, right? What does it mean, Kotomar Lebet Yaakov, V'taged Li Bnei Israel? Okay, Pshat, what does it mean? Say this to Bet Yaakov and say this to Bnei Israel. Many times, what do we have in Torah? Yaakov and Israel used interchangeably. So what would be the pshat for this pasuk? Say to Bnei Israel, say to Bnei Israel. But it's flowery, it's beautiful, it's before Matan Torah, God loves us, wants to use every single name. Right? When you call your child, you might call her by her name, Elisheva, Shevi, Shainale, whatever you want to call her. Right? But the more names you use, sometimes that's really showing your affection, right, for the child. So we could say that. But let's read the Rashi. What does Rashi say? Kotomar, go to page 2. Bilshon hazeh ukaseder hazeh. I'm telling you exactly what to tell Bnei Israel, Hashem says to Moshe. Do it exactly as I tell you. Levet Yaakov, what is Bet Yaakov? Elu hanashim. Bet Yaakov is the nashim. That's why the Beit Yaakov schools took this name, Bet Yaakov, because the famous Midrash, when you say Kotomar Lebet Yaakov, means the women. Tomar Lahem B'Lashon Raka. According to Rashi, he picks, and we'll see the Midrash in its original, he says, Emor Lahem B'Lashon Raka. Tell them sweetly and softly. You know, women, we're so sweet, we're so nice. You know, when it came to Matan Torah, speak to us gently. So tell the women gently what's the root. We always know that Midrash is based on the word in the Torah. Because it says Tomar, and Tomar is really a more generic way of speaking. But when it speaks about Bnei Israel, it says V'taged, right? Onashim v'diktukim teirash lazcharim. What did he tell the guys? He told them the punishment and all the details. Dvarim hakashin kididin, right? Your gid, right? Your ligaments and your sinews, right? So speak to the men tough, rough. Tell them their punishments, their details, and you have to toe the line. To the women, you say, oh, it's so beautiful, it's so nice, Torah so inspiring, Torah so wonderful. And the question is, why do we have this difference? Is it because the women already were motivated, so you just had to speak to them nicely and you had to put the men in line? What's the reason that we have this kind of difference? Look in the Midrashim on page 3. Look at the Midrashim on page 3. And the first one I want to do is, it's really Shmot Rabbah, it's really 11 on the bottom of page 2, but I want to start from page 3, okay? Kotoma Levet Yaakov, Elu HaNashim, right? Who are the Beit Yaakov? Who's Beit Yaakov? The Nashim. What do you have to say to them? This is the Shmot Rabbah. Amar Lei, Emor Lahem Rashei Dvarim Shehem Yecholot Lishmoa. Tell them the things that they can hear. V'taged Livnei Yisrael Elu HaAnashim. Amar Lei, Emor Lahem Diktukei Dvarim Shehem Yecholim Lishmoa. One view is guys are willing to accept the tough stuff. You tell them, they'll say yes, even if it's hard. So it was the women, you told them all these hard things, maybe they wouldn't say yes. That's the first mandamar. The next view, Dalet Aleph means Davar Acher, says, okay, but why tell the women first? Lama lanashim tchila, so why tell the women first? Shehen mizdarzot v'mitzvot. Women love doing mitzvot with alacrity. Because the women like doing things quickly and with alacrity and love Torah, so you speak to them first. And this explains the first part of the Midrash. Why speak nicely to the women and sweetly? Because they love Torah anyway. You're not convincing them. You say nice things, they're on board right away. Because they love to do the mitzvot, they're always right there. Davar acher, what's the other reason? Kidei shiyu manhigot et bnehen laTorah. Who are the big influence in the family? The men, absolutely. But who really sets the tone for the entire home? The women. And if you want the house to be a house of Torah, the women have to play a central role. Don't think my husband is Talmud Chacham, he learns more than me, he does more mitzvot than me, he is really the central one in the family and I have to look up to him. You do. But he has to look up to you too. You are an essential part of the spiritual basis of what the house is all about. Kotomar lebet Yaakov. You heard Divrei Hashem at Har Sinai first for a reason. Because you will develop what the family is about, what the community is about. You set the tone. And if you set the tone in the right way, then Baruch Hashem, Bezrat Hashem, no guarantees, but there's a better chance that we're going to have good results. Kotomar lebet Yaakov. What do you have to do? Kidei shiyu manhigot. So they should lead their sons to Torah, their children to Torah, the husband to Torah. The Midrash HaGadol, it's a very famous Midrash in Yemen, explains this Midrash, right, in a very interesting way, but we're going to hold off for a second. Amar Rav Tachlifa de Kesarin, let's continue in this Midrash. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shebarati et haolam, lo tiviti ela la'adam harishon, ve'achar kach nitzaveit chava. When I created the world, what did I do? I told Adam not to eat from the tree, or the chitim, or the grape. Different midrashim say it was different things. I told Chava after I told Adam. Or the Midrash HaGadol says, maybe she wasn't even told directly. Maybe she only heard it from Adam, or he forgot to tell her. Which means, because she didn't hear directly from Hashem about Et Hadat, what happened? She takes from Et Hadat and she gives it to her husband to eat. And then the whole world is changed. The reality of the world is changed. So we see something very interesting from here. Not only that the woman in the beginning gave to her husband, oh, fine. That shows that women are such a huge influence. That here Adam, who heard the tzivui of Hashem, straight from Hashem, but if his wife tells him something else, he does something else. Which means women are a huge influence. What is Hashem saying? When I created the world, I didn't tell Chava, or I told her second. And look what happened. She convinced Adam to eat from Etz Hadat. So what am I going to make sure now when I'm giving the Torah? I'm going to tell the women first. Not because, oh, you know, she's such a bad influence, I'll tell her first so she won't make a mistake. Just the opposite. She's such a huge influence. She could be such a power for good. If I tell her first, that will already set that Am Yisrael is going to be in the right groove for Kabbalat HaTorah. So what is he saying? When I created the world, I told Adam, and then I told Chava, Va'avra v'kilkelah ta'olam. Now, achshav, im eini kore l'anashim t'chila, hen mevatlot et ha-Torah. Right? If I don't tell the women first, what's going to happen? The Torah won't be able to be fulfilled. But in a positive way, this is really saying, women are a huge influence. Women have a tremendous power in influencing decisions that are made. And as a result, Hashem wanted the women to be on board for Torah first. Why? Because they are the ones who are zrizot b'mitzvot. And here we see something very interesting. This is really almost like a tikkun for what happens in Gan Eden. And in general, our whole life is really a tikkun for Gan Eden. You know the famous Midrashim. Why do we light Neirot Shabbat? To undo what we did in Gan Eden. Why do we bake challah? To undo what we did in Gan Eden. Why do we do Niga and all those mitzvot? To undo what we did in Gan Eden. But really, what is that saying? It's not a negative, oh, you made a mistake, then now you have to spend your whole life repenting for it. No. It's the huge power that the women had to bring certain things into the world, and now we see that the women are using their energy for good and really making a world of positive reaction, of positive influence. Where do we see that? We see that when it comes to the klala, it says, Yana sher shamata lekol ishtecha. You shouldn't have listened to your wife, right? That's what we took from Etz Hadat. And yet, what do we see with Sarah? What do we see with Rivka? What do we see with all the imahot? And what do we see with the women in general? Kol asher tamari lecha sarah shma v'kola. We see that all the nashim in Tanakh and the whole way it unfolds is really the tremendous influence that the nashim have. And the good that they did, whether it's Tamar, whether it's Ruth, right? We're coming to Kabbalat HaTorah, we're coming to Shavuot. In every single instance, we see how influential, whether it's Miriam or Bnos Fodchad, Esther, the list is endless. Kol Tamar LeBet Yaakov V'Taged L'Zne Yisrael. The women have a tremendous influence. And our whole lives are dedicated to bringing a tikkun to the world. Not just for Chava, but in general, for the entire world. Whereas we bring or we bring creativity, we bring all these things as a help to others and personal growth itself in both ways. Whereas women are willing to be successful on their own right, but also be willing to be enablers. And the ability to give like that and to give to others like that is a tremendous power. To be able to give, to do chesed, and realize that you might not reap benefits from it. It doesn't do anything to you, but you're helping people around you. And we derive hana'ah. We derive satisfaction by helping other people around us. In addition, we derive satisfaction by personal development. We see that there are two names to Isha. Isha, like the man, Da'akedat Yitzchak says this, Yitzchak Arama. She is equal to the man, and they work together, Mil'u'at Ha'aretz. On the other hand, it's Chava. She's the Ein Kol Chai. She's the mother of all things. Different kind of role. So the women have this dual role, and our job is really to integrate these two. And where did we see both of these integrated? At Har Sinai. Kol Tamar LeBet Yaakov V'Taged L'Zne Yisrael. We also have a very interesting Mechilta D'Rabbi Yishmael. Actually, yeah. And the Mechilta D'Rabbi Yishmael, and that's Yitro Masechet D'Bachodesh Parsha Bet, number 13. Kol Tamar LeBet Yaakov, line 2, Elu HaNashim. V'taged L'Bnei Yisrael, Elu HaAnashim. Okay? Davar acher, ko tomar levet Yaakov, bizchut Yaakov. V'taged L'Bnei Yisrael, bizchut Yisrael. Right? Nothing totally to do with men and women. Ko tomar levet Yaakov, emor b'lashon raka. Emor rashei dvarim l'nashim. For the women, what do you have to tell them? You have to tell them the general principles. V'tagen livnei Yisrael v'tidakdek imahem ve'emor lahem. To them you have to tell the details. And that's another thing that I would like to just mention that connects with a Sfirat Ha'omer and also Kabbalat HaTorah. You have to have both. You have to have the general principles and you have to have the details. And what husband and wife really do together, what the men and the women really do together, each one harnesses the other and really keeps the other in line, whether one is in the details and one is the general principles. It has to work together. It has to be something that is integrated between the two. And that's why it doesn't just say at Kabbalat HaTorah, Kotamar Libnei Israel. Specifically, we have a role in Kabbalat HaTorah. We have great possibilities and great potential in really creating Torah environments. In the Chukotai Telechu, immersing yourself in Torah, even though we don't have the same chiyuv as men in Talmud Torah, we have some chiyuv, right? We have to be involved in it. We have to create environments where that is really the central ability and the central focus that we have. So at Kabbalat HaTorah, the women had to be on equal footing. And now I want to go to another topic that's connected with Kabbalat HaTorah. What was the response after Hashem said, Kotomar Bet Yaakov Taged L'Bnei Israel, what was B'nai Israel's response? So we see that B'nai Israel said two things. First, they said, Naseh, and then they said, Naseh V'nishma. And what do those two things really imply for us? So I would like you to look on page 1. Shmot Perek Yutet, we're on number 3 again, and we're going to Pasuk Chet. Shmot Perek Yutet, Pasuk Chet. Vayanu kol ha'am yachdav vayomru, kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh, vayashev Moshe divrei ha'am el Hashem. When Moshe comes down and tells them you have to do these 3 days of preparation, Shmoshe Kimei Hagbalah, in order to get ready for the Torah, B'nai Israel say na'aseh. Go up to number 1. In Shmot Perek Kavdalid, where it tells us again about Kabbalat HaTorah, it says, right, B'nai Israel are getting ready for the Torah, right, and what do they say? Shmot Perek Kavdalid Pasuk Gimel, right, number 1. Moshe comes down and tells them what Hashem told them, and B'nai Israel answer, Vayan kol ha'am kol echad, again, unity, Vayomru kol ha'dvarim asher diber Hashem, na'aseh. Everything Hashem tells us, we'll do. Here, if you look in Rashi, what did he tell them? He told them the halachot that they already learned about. Shabbat, respecting your parents, the red heifer, right? They already learned these laws. So B'nai Israel are saying, na'aseh, we're going to do them. The next time he comes down and we have the brit, we have sacrifices, and we have blood being thrown on B'nai Israel, a real experience before they get the Torah. And the next thing that happens, Pasuk Zayin, Shmot Perek Avdalet Pasuk Zayin, we're in one, number one still. Vayikach Sefer HaBrit, Vayikra Bozne Ha'am. Now Moshe reads the entire Torah until that point, and it says, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh V'nishma. We will do and we will listen. So we have 3 different instances. They're willing to get ready for Harsina by Shloshet Yimei Hagbalah. And what's interesting is the separation of men and women before Har Sinai, because both had to really approach Hashem in a fully pure form. Both men and women had to be ready in Tahorim to really accept the Torah on Har Sinai. And the halachot were equal in the Shloshet Yimei Hagbalah. Then all of Bnei Israel say, Na'aseh, we'll do whatever you tell us. And then again Bnei Israel say, Na'aseh v'nishma. We will do and we will obey. So now I want to ask our famous question that we all know. We say about Bnei Israel when they were at Har Sinai. What does it say about Bnei Israel when they were at Har Sinai? It says, Vayityatfu b'tachtit ha'har. Let's look at the pasuk. Look at Shmot Perek Yutet number 3. No, wait. Not that one. Let me get it for you. Shmot Yutet Ted Zion to Yud Zion. Oh, you know, this is double-sided, right? right? There you go. Number nine. Shmot Perek Yud Nun saves the earth. Shmot Perek Yud Tet. Okay? We're in Pasuk Tet Zayin. On the third day, what happens? Right? The third day of Shmotet Yimei Hagbalah, right? What happens? Or the next morning, that was a debate we discussed early. There's a thunder, there's lightning, there's a shofar, there's a shofar blowing, and Moshe brings Bnei Israel out to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God comes out to greet us. He's like the Chatan. The Chatan's always under the chuppah first, and then the Kala comes, right? Then the bride comes. So Hashem is like the Chatan. He's waiting for us, and we come to meet Hashem. And what are the words that are mentioned there? Vayitiyatzvu betachtit hahar. They stood under the mountain. Really, what are the words? Vayitiyatzvu betachtit hahar. They stood at the foot of the mountain. Look at Rashi 10, right? Number 10, the blast Rashi. Lefip shuto barazleahar. It really means they stood at the foot of the mountain. Umidrasho, but what's the midrash? Shenitla shahar min komo v'nichfa aleim kigigit. The mountain uprooted itself and it was overturned over Bnei Israel like an upturned pot, like an upturned chavit, gigit. So the question is, Bnei Israel said naseh. They're unified by Echad Shem Yisrael neged ahar. We said naseh, we said naseh v'nishma, and yet, when it comes to the last moment, right before we're about to accept the Torah, what does it say? Kafalim ha-kigigit. And my question to you is, why do we have, at the last moment, before Bnei Israel are going to accept the Torah, kafalim ha-kigigit, that Hashem is putting the mountain over our heads? So the Mechilta has a beautiful midrash. The Mechilta says, it's like a chuppah. Hashem is the Chatan, Bnei Israel are the Kala, and the Har over us is like a chuppah. Beautiful concept. So the Mechilta, which is the Midrash Halakha, very early, Divrei Chazal, says, what's Tachtit the Har? What's this Midrash under the Har? The Har was like a chuppah, was like a canopy. It's like a marriage. You're under a canopy. And where do we get this? From Shir HaShirim. Yonati b'chagvei ha-sela, b'seter ha-madrega. Right, in Shir HaShirim we have that famous pasuk. So, based on Shir HaShirim, what's the tachtit ahar? Like a chuppah. But the view in the Gemara is different. The view in the Gemara is, what's the tachtit ahar? The view in the Gemara is, the tachtit ahar, I did that for you, right? Haha, yes, 14. See, I have different additional sheets. I always want to put a lot of makarot in. My husband always says, oh, you put too many, it gets too complicated. It's hard to get. I say, I'm already having, because I have all these, you know, huge sheets. I have like 10, 5, whatever. And my husband says, one sheet, says that's a few makarot. That's enough. He gives 100 when he's talking. I said, then you should have all the makarot. So since he helped me with the Bar Ilan, he said, we're not spending all night, you know, doing this. He needed to use his computer. So I have a long version, you have a short version. In the Gemara, it says, Shabbat das teichet. What does it say? What vayitiyatzvu betachtit ahar? You have this, so I'm going to read it with you. Amar Rav Dimi bar Chama bar Chasa, melamed shekafa kodesh baruch hu aleim et ahar kiyigit. The mountain was on them like a yigit, like an upturned barrel. What did Hashem say? Im atem mekablim et haTorah, if you accept the Torah, good. Ve'im lav, sham tehei kfuratchem. Hashem was threatening Bnei Israel. He put the mountain over our heads to force us into compliance. If you accept the Torah, great. If not, I'm going to crush you and kill you all. So I have a question. Didn't we just say how beautiful it was, Bnei Israel, the women especially, right? There's Rivim Lemitzvot. It's so nice. We have so much alacrity. We wanted to do it. Na'aseh v'nishma, na'aseh. So why at the last moment, right before Aseret HaDibrot, Hashem pulled up the mountain and held it over our head in this way? The Pshat doesn't imply that. B'tachtit tahar, at the foot of the mountain. Why is this such a strong midrash? So many of us have learned this and know it. What is the lesson that this is trying to teach us? Why is it so prominent in Chazal? Why do we have ksia, coercion, at Ma'amad Har Sinai? Shouldn't it all be free will? Oh, we love God, we love the Torah, we're so interested. Isn't that better? Why do we have this element at Har Sinai? Isn't it going to ruin the moment? Let's go on in Gemara. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Mikan Modo'a Rabba La'oraita. What is this? It's like a formal warning. In halakha, we have this idea of a modah. Let's say you sign a contract and you're kind of quasi-forced. So we have this idea of modah. We have to make a hachrazah. We have to make an announcement before we do this. Mr. A is being forced to sign. He signs anyway. But we let everyone know. What's modah rabba? A big warning. So it's like Kabbalah the Torah comes with a Surgeon General's warning. B'nai Israel were forced. Why? Rashi explains, why do we have that? Rashi explains because later on, if B'nai Israel don't do all the mitzvot, what could they say? We were forced into it. And if they say we were forced into it, what do we know if you're forced into something? By onet. You're not necessarily responsible. So Rashi wants to say maybe, right, it's to say that B'nai Israel were forced. And what will happen? Yesh lahem tshuva. They can respond when Hashem says, like in Bechukotai Telechu, when Hashem wants to give them tochacha, he wants to punish them. We were forced. Shekibluha ba'onet. That's what Rashi says. What does the Balei HaTosfot say there? The Balei HaTosfot say, it's two sections. When Hashem pulled the mountain over them, they were so overwhelmed by God, by Kodesh Baruch Hu, by the kolot, ubrakim, the thunder and lightning and the experience at Har Sinai, that they were scared. And when they were scared, and Hashem was saying, are you going to accept the Torah? They were dumbfounded. They were not really ready. So Tosfos says, what happened? Hashem put the mountain over them to kind of force them into this decision, like a parent. The child is afraid to swim, you throw him in the water. We don't do that anymore, right? But you have to push your child to do the right thing because you have experience, you know it'll be okay, but the kid is scared. That's what Balei HaTosfot says. But they still needed a nudge. And what was the nudge? Taking the mountain over them and kind of forcing them at that last moment. Because they said Naseh. They said Naseh v'nishma. So we know they're interested. But the thunder and lightning, God's presence really scared them. So Hashem had to force at the last minute. This is really what you want. Where do we have a case where you force someone to do something, that even if they don't really want it, we can force them to do it because that's the right thing to do? We have that in the Rambam in Hilchot Gerushin, Perek Bet Alachabet. Kofin oto ad shomer rotzeani. If someone doesn't want to give a get, what do? In the time of Bet Din, what can you do? You can really whip the person. You can give him mild cuffs. You can really hit him. Kofin oto ad shomer rotzeani. You hit him enough until he says, okay, I'm going to give the get. So we know we have the halacha that we don't have a get muset. You can't have a forced get. You know that from contemporary halacha. It's a big issue. So what does that mean, we force him until he says, what say I need? Right? Today we don't have Bezdin, we don't do this. But what does that mean? If you're forcing someone to do the right thing, to do something that's according to the mitzvot, Rambam says you could do that. So if you're forcing him to do something that's according to the Torah, to do the right thing, then we could do that. So that principle holds for kafale and har kigigit. Meaning, what's Hashem doing? It's the right thing for us. We said naseh v'nishma, but we have that last moment where if we panic, Hashem's making sure we're doing the right thing, and even though it was coerced, it's okay. The Maharal says, but what's the lesson here? What is the importance of coercion at Har Sinai? And the Maharal says, anything that's important to you, he says on the Gurari, anything that's important to you has to have some kind of overwhelming aspect that is beyond your control. We know that gadol mitzuveh ve'oseh, mini she'eino mitzuveh ve'oseh. If you do a mitzvah, if you do a commandment because you're obligated, on one level, that's higher than if you did it out of your voluntary good heart. Now, aren't we upset by that? Meaning if we want to do a mitzvah and it's good for us and we have time to do it and it's loving and caring, that's wonderful. But the other side is, what about that moment when you're not in the mood, when you don't want to do it? Then you could decide, I'm not going to do this mitzvah. Which means mitzvot and the Torah is not totally up to you. If it was only ma'aseh and ma'aseh v'nishma, what could you say tomorrow? I'm not in the mood. I don't want to. Torah isn't for me. I'm giving it up. Maybe then, maybe another day I felt into it, and now I'm saying no. My free choice then, my free choice now. The Maharal says anything really important in life also has a certain aspect that's beyond your control. Shabbat, the seventh day comes, you don't set Shabbat. Hashem mekadesh et ha-Shabbat, right? And then Bnei Yisrael mekadesh et ha-Shanim. We decide when Rosh Chodesh is, so we have a say when the Chagim happen. But mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim, Hashem mekadesh et ha-Shabbat, ha-Shabbat mekadesh et Yisrael, and Yisrael mekadesh et ha-Zmanim. Which means there are things beyond our control, and how we handle them is a big issue. So the Maharal says, in order to show us how important Torah is, it had to be kafalim hartigit. They had to realize at that moment that there are no options, there's no life without Torah. It wasn't a choice, oh, it's such a nice idea, we decided to accept it, but tomorrow when B'nai Israel decide to say it's not good for us, then we won't have to do it. It's la'olmei ad. And the kafalim hartigit wasn't to force us, it was to show us how important it is. That life without Torah is not worth living, and it's not really a choice that you make, because that's the way it is. And that's our emunah. Rav Levi Yitzchak Mevardichev, in the Kedushat Levi, which is his Perush, says something very interesting to build on the Maharal. He says, but don't take away the Naaseh and the Naaseh v'Nishma. How do you integrate those two things? So Rav Levi Yitzchak Mevardichev says, some days we feel we want to do the Torah Naaseh. Naaseh v'Nishma. We are interested, we are focused, we really want to do all the mitzvot. But what about those days when you wake up and you don't want to do all the mitzvot? Things happen in life, you have questions, or you don't want to do everything? That's when kafalim hartigit. You know you have to get up, you have to do the right thing, even though you don't necessarily think you want to. Because what do you really want to do inside? You really want to do it. So when you have that impetus of kafalim hartigit, then you realize, Hashem commanded me, it's the right thing to do, I'm going to do it. And that is the balance, which means we have Na'aseh v'Nishma, but we also have Kafalim Harkigigit. And we have that very nice midrash, it's in the Gemara, the one that I xeroxed for you, that you have here. And that is the idea of Ahasuerus. Let's continue in the Gemara that we did. Amar Rava, Afal Pi Chen, we're number 14, page 3. Hador Kibluha Bimei Ahasuerus. We know that Bnei Israel accepted the Torah in the time of Ahasuerus. Because what does it say there? Kimu v'kiblu. Totally out of their own free will. But what was it based on? What did it only come after? Kafalim Har Kigigit. They accepted it, but it's based on the first experience at Har Sinai. Not separate. Another thing that the Gemara says very interestingly, Vayera Vayivoker Yom Hashishi. Why does it say Vayera Vayivoker Yom Hashishi? And not Vayera Vayivoker Yom Shishi, like Shlishi Rivi'i. Because the whole world was created for Ha, for Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And according to this Midrash and this in Gemara, that Hashem said, I'm creating the world, we're on page 314 in the Gemara, I created the world to have the Torah. And without the Torah, there is no world. So at Har Sinai, what am I going to do? I'm going to take the mountain, put it over Bnei Israel. If they accept, the world will exist. If they don't accept, the world won't exist. And now I want to come back to one of my earlier points. Who were the people that Hashem spoke to first in order to get them to accept the Torah? It was the Nashim. And without Torah, there is no world. Without Torah, there is no life. Without Torah, there is no existence that has any spiritual meaning. Again, Kotomar Lebet Yaakov V'Taged Livnei Israel. We see that in our lives, we have the obligation to really interface the Naaseh v'Nishma and Kafalim Har Kigigit. We really have to integrate these two elements of experience of Torah, of living Torah, of loving Torah, of learning Torah, of really giving over the message of Torah to our family, to our students, to our friends, to our community, and make sure that just like Bnei Israel, without Bnei Israel, the Torah couldn't exist. Without the Nashim of Bnei Israel, the Torah cannot be really fulfilled in the way that it was really meant to be fulfilled from Sheshet Yinei Bereishit. Which means we are integral in Shulshel HaKabbalah. We are integral in this chain. And now we still have a few more days. We're in Sfirat HaOmer to rethink and to understand what is going on. What is our job? Shloshet Yimei HaKabbalah is coming up. Rosh Chodesh Sivan is coming up. It's a time to not only do all the mitzvot more seriously, but we know that the Shalach HaKadosh is a very beautiful set of tichinot that whenever you bake challah, whenever you go to the mikveh during this time, whenever you daven during this time, whenever you light candles during this time, it's a special Sha'at Kosher for the Nashim. Why? Because Kotomar Lebet Yaakov. This is our time. Not to think, oh, Tikkun Leil or the Shiurim, it's for the men. It's really also for the Nashim. The environment of the home, learning to make sure everyone learns in the home, the environment in a certain way, of course it's for the Nashim. We are the ones who really have to set the tone. We are the ones, and not just by saying and nagging, by example as well, by being role models, by living these morals, by living these ethics, by living these mitzvot. And as we said originally, in the Chukotai Telechu, we have to immerse ourselves in a life of Torah. Mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro, mitzvot ben adam l'makom. The mitzvot that Nashim really have are important to them. To make sure that the people around us, and especially our children and our relatives and our friends, are really being involved in Torah and mitzvot in the way that they really should be to live a fulfilled life. Are we caring? Are we ethical? Are we good? Do we listen to what our kids have to say? Do we listen to our parents? Do we listen to our extended family? Are we trying to be peacemakers? Are we trying to do the right thing? Now is the time for us to think about it. Before Pesach, even though that's also the time for the Nashim, we're so busy. Before Adar, when we have Purim, we're so busy. Shavuot is really, in that sense, an easier holiday. And it's definitely a time that we can reflect, that we should look inside, and we should do in B'chukotai Telechu, to immerse ourselves in the Yam Shel Torah, and really try to bring other people in with us. Thank you.